Good morning, and looking forward to learning together. This is an installment in our Hilchos Shabbos series. Twice a week, we have some brief weekly virtual learning in the form of voice notes. If you're in the WhatsApp group, so then you know about this already. If you're not, then you're welcome to join. Please let me know if you want to join. I can have you added to the WhatsApp group. And then once a month or so in person, we get together for a shiur on the relevant topics. Everybody is invited to join the WhatsApp group. Everybody's invited to come to the learning. You don't have to be in the WhatsApp group. I get this question all the time in order to come to the shiurim, but you might have more of an idea of what we're talking about when we get together. So right now we're learning the laws of muktzah. This is the laws of what one is allowed to move and what one is not allowed to move on Shabbos. And this shiur is therefore part of our series on Hilchos Muktzah. As we will see, the majority, really the main essential issues when it comes to kosher lamps and Shabbos LEDs and Shabbos bulbs and all that kinds of all that fancy stuff, are questions of muktzah, are questions of moving things that may not be moved on Shabbos. Thank you especially to Rabbi Zariah Leibowitz and Yaakov Goldstein, whose outlines on this topic could prove very helpful in understanding the history and the halacha behind many of these new gadgets. And certainly, last but not least, thank you to our anonymous community sponsor who has sponsored today's breakfast and learning in appreciation of the Israel Defense Forces for their commitment and sacrifice in defending the Jewish state and as a merit for the safety of Jews worldwide. Hashem Yishmor, should keep all of our people safe. If you would like to sponsor a shiur, please speak with me or with our director of operations, Svi Bord. Okay, so the title of today's shiur is different types of Shabbos lamps. Different types of Shabbos lamps and their acceptability on Shabbos. Now, if you read sometimes the marketing materials of these things, now I don't have any of the boxes here, but sometimes you'll notice that some Shabbos lamp companies will say, our Shabbos lamp is best. And then other ones will say, no, ours is really the best Shabbos lamp. It, you don't worry about anything when you use our Shabbos lamp. All from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective. So what does that all mean? What are the problems? Why are some potentially better than others? Is this just all an advertising gimmick, or are there actual differences between the different types of kosher lamps? Are some actually so problematic so as to render their use unadvised? So that's what we'll talk about today. And it's a very relevant topic. How many people here use a Shabbos lamp in their home regularly? Almost everybody. I do. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And in order to address it, we really need to think about a fundamental question, which is that in order to talk about the kosher lamp, which is, we have some, thanks to some of you, we have some of these displays here. We first really need to talk about an item that we don't have here, which is a regular lamp. Let's first talk about light before we even talk about the kosher lamp, going back to Bereishis. So even the truth is that even though in the late 19th century, I think it was 1879, the light bulb was invented by Thomas Edison or Joseph Swan, everybody points out they didn't really invent it from scratch. They built on other people's inventions, so they shouldn't get all the credit. Fine, but we've had lamps for a very long time. And long before the kosher lamp, which I believe was first marketed in 2004, not very long ago, there were regular lamps. Most people today still have regular lamps, even if they use a kosher lamp on Shabbos, still have regular lamps in their homes. If you go to a hotel, that's all they have. They don't have ceiling lighting. They only have regular lamps most of the time. And if you really want to investigate the halachic status of the kosher lamp, we first need to see what Poskim have said, right, about the actual lamp. Right, because the relevance is because if a regular electric light is not muktzah and you can move it, then a kosher lamp should be certainly no more problematic than that. A kosher lamp is just essentially a regular light with some adjustments. And if a regular lamp is not muktzah, then there's nothing to talk about. Right? Then why should a kosher lamp be muktzah? But if an electric lamp is muktzah, so then we'd have to see whether the solutions that a kosher lamp would provide make it actually better. Okay. And the truth is that as lights became more and more popular, people began inquiring more and more as to their halachic status. Is a lamp acceptable for use on Shabbos? Now, nowadays, people don't write shilas to rabbis about this because the question's been answered. Nobody's, but before when electricity first came onto the scene, when light bulbs first came onto the scene, so this wasn't very important. This was very important. People needed to know, can I move my lamp on Shabbos? Now again, everybody agrees that you can leave a light on Shabbos if you turn it on before Shabbos. The question is, if I want to move my lamp, especially if it has a long cord, can I move it to one part of a room that I might need it more in? Can I move it to another part of a room? Is a lamp actually going to be considered muktzah? And it's here that we really get into the Talmud Torah of the matter. The Mishnah Maseches Shabbos records the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. First source on the page number one, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol haneros metaltalin chutz min haner hadolik b'Shabbos. You can move any lamp or any candle on Shabbos as long as it isn't lit. You can move any lamp as long as it's not burning, as long as there's no actual fire on the lamp. So you can move the base of the lamp, you can move the lantern body, but if there's a lit fire, then you can't move it. Then the Mishnah says it becomes muktzah. Why? Why can't you carry a lamp or a candle that's lit on Shabbos? So basically, this is essentially Rabbi Shimon saying, because the flame of the lamp is muktzah. The actual fire, meaning granted, maybe the base is not going to be a problem if there's no fire, but fire itself is muktzah. Fire itself is muktzah. And therefore, when a candle is lit with a flame, the candle or the lamp, whatever it is, becomes muktzah. Now we're talking here about real fire. Right? Because in the times of the Mishnah, they didn't have electric lights. But this is what the halacha is. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can move any lamp. It's not muktzah, but not when it's actually lit. When it's actually lit, there is going to be a problem of muktzah. And the Gemara in source number two clarifies that therefore the lamp is muktzah because the flame is muktzah and the lamp is used to support the flame. And we have a rule, and we're going to see this in more detail. It's actually probably the most relevant question when it comes to the shailas of muktzah and kosher lamps. Is that if you have something that's supporting something that's muktzah, it's a rule called basis ledavar ha'aser, the thing that's supporting the muktzah item itself becomes muktzah. So for example, in our case, if you have a candle or a lantern supporting a flame, so then not only is the actual fire going to be muktzah, but the entire lantern is going to be muktzah. The entire candle which supports the flame is going to be considered muktzah as well. And so we see from here, and this is the halacha, that fire on Shabbos is muktzah. Flames on Shabbos are muktzah. They can't be moved, they can't be handled, they are muktzah. The question that many poskim have struggled to address over the centuries is why? Why is fire muktzah? Why is a flame muktzah? Now, those of you who listen to our weekly voice notes know that something is designated as muktzah when it does not have a typical or an expected use on Shabbos. In that case, you're not allowed to move it. That's what we call muktzah. If something doesn't have a typical or an expected use on Shabbos, generally speaking, it's a working definition, then it's going to be muktzah. But fire seemingly does serve a purpose. You can use it to see. You can use it to keep warm. There are lots of typical and expected uses for fire on Shabbos. And so you have to ask. And it's true, even though sometimes those uses might be prohibited, like for cooking or something like that, seemingly there are many permitted uses for a flame. So why is fire considered to be muktzah? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say. Even the Rishonim really don't really talk about this question. And the answer is it's not completely clear. Seasoned poskim have struggled to explain this clear ruling of the Gemara and the Mishnah that a flame is muktzah. The Chazon Ish suggests two reasons. Two reasons given by the Chazon Ish in source number three. Number one, Yesh lomar de l'olam ein derech aner l'tal de b'Shabbos dilma techabet. People are generally wary to move a candle lest it blow out. Lest it blow out. People generally don't want to move a fire. They're reticent to move a fire because the fire might actually blow out when you move it. And therefore, if muktzah is defined as something which people don't typically use on Shabbos, well, then maybe you can say a flame is muktzah because people are typically afraid to move a flame. It's very delicate. People don't want it to blow out. And that would remove it from the category of something that's usually handled or expectably handled on Shabbos. So that's why the Chazon Ish says, number one, maybe it's muktzah for that reason. Number two, the Chazon Ish says, It's generally speaking, people don't move these things. Forget about the reason why, because it's going to extinguish. It's very uncommon for people to move fire. People will usually light a fire where they want the fire. It's very uncommon for people to move fire. And therefore, the normal way of using fire is to leave it in its place. And so therefore, moving it, because it departs from the typical and expected use, is going to be considered muktzah. Because again, people don't typically move fire. Again, according to the first reason of the Chazon Ish, because they're scared it's going to blow out. Or the second reason of the Chazon Ish, because that's just simply not normal human behavior. Now, some poskim have a problem with this, because there are plenty of times where people do normally move fire. People take lanterns. That was what they used to do. They used to carry lanterns. They used to move the fire. So the Mincha Shlomo Zalman Orbach and his Tshuvos, he rejects this reason, the second reason of the Chazon Ish. He says people do usually move fire. But the first reason, maybe you're worried it's going to blow out. So that would be one reason to consider it muktzah. And that's what Chazon Ish says. He says two answers as to why a flame is muktzah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Mincha Shlomo, source number 4, actually notes, and he says, I'm not really sure why a flame is a muktzah. He says, Amarti liyashiv b'dochek. He said, I really pushed myself to give an answer to this question. In other words, there's no real intuitive, clear reason for why a fire should be, for why a flame should be muktzah. And he argues in this tshuva that in order for something to be subject to the laws of muktzah, he says he has a very interesting chiddush, and he's tentative about this. But he says, Ein bo mamish. It has no real substance. V'lav bar tiltulhu. You can't actually move a fire. You can move something that's holding a fire, but you can't actually move a fire. Kekelim v'ochlim v'shar hadvarim. Like you can move food, like you can move vessels, like chairs and furniture and things like that. And therefore, he says that maybe therefore that the afal gav the time of the gazru chachamim mister muksa who kadesh yutz rachav muchanim erev Shabbos mikol makom gam kan mishum lo pluk etzrich chacham sheyeh or muchan beod bayit beod yom chol chedesh yistarich liot sham shabbat. Essentially, muksa is in order for something to be muksa, it has to be a concrete substance. It has to be something that's tangible, like a bowl or fruit. Or those things are not muktzah, but they're tangible. And so maybe he says, maybe muktzah doesn't apply. Categorically, our sages did not extend the decree of muktzah to anything that doesn't have a tangible, to anything that doesn't have a degree of tangibility, like a fire doesn't. In other words, a fire, it exists, but you can't really handle it the same way you handle other things. And so therefore, he argues that maybe our sages never extended the muktzah decree to those things. When our sages said that certain things are muktzah, they were only talking about things that are actually movable, holdable, like a box of tissues or a shtender or a chair. Those are not muktzah. Or money, which is muktzah, something you can hold and handle. But a flame, which you can't really hold and handle directly, was never included in the prohibition. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. That's why he says maybe fire is muktzah. But he says, Amarti liyashiv b'dochek. He says, I'm not sure about this. You have to push me up against the wall. You force me to give an answer. That's what I'm going to say. That's what he says. Okay, so just to summarize, we learned in the Mishnah that a fire is muktzah, but we did not learn why. The Chazon Ish suggests that people generally do not move flames, either out of fear they're going to extinguish it, or because that's just not the typical behavior of people. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach argues that it's because a flame is not tangible enough to be included in the Gezerah of muktzah. Yeah. The question is, and this is very relevant for our purposes, granted we know that fire is muktzah now. We saw that, we don't know why, but we know that it's muktzah. So the question is does this apply to modern lamps and lighting? Does that consider to be fire for the purposes of halacha, or is it not considered to be fire? Now, according to the reasoning presented above, it's not completely clear. Right? On the one hand, when it comes to an electric light, a light bulb is physically real, and people generally do move around electric lights, such as flashlights. So in that case, seemingly, it would not be subject to the same reasoning behind the muktzah prohibition as a fire. On the other hand, a tabletop lamp, which people generally don't move their tabletop lamps very often, so then it might still be muktzah. If the Chazon Ish says that something is muktzah because people generally don't handle it, then a tabletop lamp would seemingly potentially be muktzah for that reason. And this is a question that has been dealt with by a great many poskim from the 20th century. Are electric lights muktzah? Are electric lights muktzah? And again, this has a bearing on our question about kosher lamps. Why? Because if a regular electric light is not muktzah, then a kosher lamp is certainly not muktzah either. But if a regular electric light is muktzah, so then we'd have to see whether the solutions that a kosher lamp provides are any better. And the answer, of course, is that this is a big machloket. Many, many prominent authorities have written tshuvot on this topic. And if you were worth your salt, you wrote a tshuva on this topic back in the day. And they don't all agree with one another. Now, the stringent opinion is put forth by Rabbi Binyamin Zilber and Az Nibru, and it's another number of other posts can follow this as well, is that electric lamps are muktzah. Electric lamps in source number 5, we're not going to read it inside, but he argues this point that electric lamps are actually muktzah. Az Nibru Chedek Dalet Simen Mem. And then, according to these poskim, if you want to say that, yes, all of the things that we just said about fire being muktzah does apply to electric lamps, so then, now we're going to have to see. Now our question is live, right? If a regular lamp is muktzah, then we have to see whether all these various solutions that a kosher lamp provides are actually going to help. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein himself has a very interesting position. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a number of tshuvot about the muktzah status of electrical appliances. And there arose a great tumult about what his actual position was. Some Sfarim say that some authors write, I saw Rav Moshe with my own eyes move an electric lamp on Shabbos. Another rabbi said, he told me it was usur. He told me you're not allowed to do it. So what did Rav Moshe actually, hold? So again, there arose a whole tumult about this. What did Rav Moshe Feinstein think? Again, he was the Posek Hador in America, so his opinion is very important. And in a tshuva from 1985, just several months before his passing, he wrote a, he decided to finally clarify the matter once and for all. And he writes as follows. Source number 6. Hine katavti kama pa'amim be'inyan zeh. He said, I already wrote about this so many times. And I have verbally explained my reasoning about this so many times. And everybody knows this already. I've made my opinion clear. But he says, some people have pointed out to me that there's a great outcry about what my shita is. So then he says, he said, I have therefore set upon myself to write a final tshuva about the matter in order to clarify up any ambiguity about what I might have thought. And this is what I say. He says as follows. He says, any electric kli that is connected to an electric current, afila menorat chashmal, even a lamp, lemaisa ain't a muktzah b'shabbos. Halacha lemaisa, they're not muktzah. They're not muktzah. You can't unplug them, but you can move them around the house, such as if you have a fan that you want to direct towards you or away from you. So you could do that. So that's not going to be a problem with muktzah. Umutar l'taltlam, you can handle them. Ela imkein heim kelim she'osim behem halacha. Unless there's something that are used to do a prohibited function on Shabbos, like you can't, for example, move your toaster even though it's plugged in because a toaster is used to cook or an oven. Ovens are too big to move. But okay, so. But if the actual thing that the item is used for is not a prohibited thing on Shabbos, like a fan, for example, is not prohibited to fan yourself, so therefore, or a clock, for example, you can use a clock to tell time, so therefore it's not, as long as it's used, it's my primary use is for a permitted function, it's not going to be muktzah on Shabbos. And then he says, at the very end, if someone wants to be more machmir, he says, I'm not machmir myself. But if somebody wants to be machmir, he says, you can. You can be machmir to consider these things muktzah if you want to. But you have to know if you're going to be machmir. That if you're talking about a lamp, an electric lamp, even if you want to say it's muktzah, you would still be permitted, according to all opinions, to move it if you need either the space it occupies. Like, let's say it's on a desk and you need the desk, so you can move it over. Or if you need the light, if you need it to shine more brightly in another part of the room, you can move the lamp over there so that it shines more brightly. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, it's a very interesting position. He says, Me'ikar Hadin, on a basic level, they're not muktzah. They're not muktzah. And if they are muktzah, you would still be permitted to move them for certain purposes. Okay. He's talking, of course, about a category of muktzah. He's arguing they fall into the category called kli shemelachto le'eser. A kli shemelachto le'eser is a type of muktzah item, which we did not yet discuss in our voice notes, that refers to an item that is normally used to accomplish a prohibited task, like a hammer, for example. To bang in a nail on Shabbos is prohibited, but in a time of need can be used to accomplish a permitted task. So you can technically, if you needed a hammer to crack open nuts, you could use a hammer to crack open nuts. That would be permitted on Shabbos. So a kli shemelachto le'eser has an interesting halachic status. It can be moved for two reasons. If you need the space it occupies, like if you're like a remote on a couch is another good example. If you have a TV remote on the couch, so then the remote is usually used for a prohibited purpose. It's usually used to turn on and off the TV. So if you need to sit on the couch, you can move the remote, or if you actually need the remote for a permitted function, like I don't know what other permitted function a remote might serve, but like for a hammer, for example, you can use it to crack open nuts. So that would be permissible. So in any case, Rabbi Yamin Zilber says it's muktzah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says it's not muktzah. But even if you want to be machmir, you can still move it sometimes. And then lastly, that on the opposite end of the spectrum is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's the most mako. And he argues that electric lamps are not similar to fire. They're categorically not muktzah. As he mentioned, he thinks that fire is muktzah because it has ein bo mamish. It has no real tangibility. But a lamp, which is really concentrated, and you can hold it in a light bulb, you can handle it. So he thinks that therefore it would not be muktzah, and you can move it. Again, he's tentative about this. If you look in the introduction to his sefer, he writes that all of this is only to be ma'arer halomdim, to get people thinking about it, but he doesn't feel comfortable postulating this way. But he did write this. Okay, so you can move it, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, at least somewhat tentatively. And Rav Asher Weiss, by the way, at least when it comes to LED lights, who was here just a couple weeks ago, is also mekel. He thinks that they're not muktzah, and you can move them. Categorically not muktzah. And so therefore, we have three main shitas in the poskim about the status of an electric light. Number one, an electric light is absolute muktzah. It's exactly the same as the fire in our Mishnah, and you can't be moved. It can't be moved. Number two, Rav Moshe Feinstein, an electric light is probably not muktzah, but if you want to be machmir and consider it muktzah, you can. But even if you're machmir, you can still move it for specific purposes. And lastly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Asher Weiss, an electric light is not muktzah at all. It's not muktzah at all. Now, according to this, we can start to see how we would treat kosher lamps, right? Because if you hold, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other poskim, that an electric lamp is not muktzah, then a Shabbos lamp is certainly no worse than a non-Shabbos lamp, and there's no problem of moving it on Shabbos. There's no problem at all. You could even move a regular lamp if you wanted to. A Shabbos lamp is unnecessary. However, if you hold like the poskim who say that it's muktzah, then we need to see, why is a Shabbos lamp better than other lamps? Why is a Shabbos lamp better than a regular lamp? Does that make sense? Okay, good. So in order to discuss, let's move on to the actual Shabbos lamp. So in order to discuss the Shabbos lamp, a very brief history is necessary. As mentioned, the light bulb was invented in the late 19th century. For some reason, it took another 150 years for Jews to realize, hey, I can just control the amount of light in my room by taking a lamp and covering it. And for some reason, it's mind-boggling, this was not monetized until 2004. The light bulb came out in 1879. It was not monetized in 2004 that you could create a safe way to cover your light on Shabbos that actually does the job I'm tired, so I'll just cover it. That someone decided to monetize that. So, again, according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other lenient poskim, you could just move a regular lamp, no problem. So presumably you can move a kosher lamp too. But again, now we'll get into it. According to the poskim who say that a lamp is muktzah, what are you supposed to do? So how does the kosher lamp solve this problem of muktzah? So the first kosher lamp was introduced in 2004, and it's the most common type of kosher lamp. I would say, I think it's probably the most common, right? It doesn't necessarily, this is a knockoff brand, so it's actually better because it's cheaper, so the plastic is thinner, so you can actually see how it works a little bit better through the thing. Essentially, there are two components. There's the base, which houses the light bulb, and then there's the shade, which is a completely separate unit. It comes all the way out, and when you want the light on, you open it. When you want the light off, you close it. It's as simple as that. And you cover the light and it makes the room completely, completely dark. That's basically how it works. And the argument to permit this is as follows. And it's outlined really in Rav Shlomo Miller's Haskama. Rav Shlomo Miller, the great posek from Toronto, Baruch Hashem, Shibadil Chaim Tovim, still alive. Essentially, the argument that to say that this is permitted is as follows. Yes, even if you want to say that the lamp, that an actual lamp is muktzah, the cover is a completely detachable vessel. It's completely separate from the actual, lamp. And so therefore, even if you want to be machmir and argue that the lamp itself is muktzah, you can still move the shade. You can still move the shade because, again, it's completely separate. It's its own kli. So therefore, and the shade does serve a permitted function on Shabbos. It serves the permitted function of allowing you to sleep, allowing you to get light when you need light, etc., etc. And so therefore, if you put this on your nightstand, turning this would be no problem because this is the only thing you're moving. And this is a completely separate entity from the actual muktzah lamp. However, it would also be true that according to the approach that says you need a kosher lamp, you can't move the base. You can't move the base. And you can, sometimes people want to, you know, with the way these kosher lamps are made, and we're going to talk about this, at least at first, there's light in one direction. And they used to be even smaller. And then people realized, as Rabbi Lipowitz pointed out, bigger hole, more light. Great. So then people started making them with bigger holes. But essentially, you would need to hold also that the base of the lamp can't be moved. And basically, therefore, if you could only turn this back and forth. But if you wanted to turn it towards you, so you couldn't do that. Or if you wanted to put it over there so that someone else in the room can see, so you wouldn't be able to do that either. That would not be permitted. And this is explained explicitly in Rav Shlomo Miller's Haskama, in his approbation, in his letter of approval to the actual kosher lamp. On the bottom of page number 3, this is from the kosher lamp website. This is the Haskama. I was asked by Rabbi Shmuel Vefer concerning an electric lamp he invented called kosher lamp, and he writes, with respect to moving muktzah, the body of the lamp is muktzah. In other words, Rav Shlomo Miller is machmir like those poskim to say that a lamp is muktzah. However, the upper portion of the lamp, the inner, the cylinder, is a separate part and is a kli heter. It's a permitted vessel whose purpose is to shade the light. And therefore, all this is called kli heter, but you should be careful not to move the base of the lamp. But if you want to hold the bottom of the lamp without moving it, so that's fine. Again, we spoke about this in our voice notes, how muktzah only applies to moving muktzah, but simply touching the base of the lamp is permitted. But therefore, you can argue that this whole thing is permitted. Rav Shlomo Eliyahu Miller put his haskama on the kosher lamp, as did many great rabbis. You can use a kosher lamp, according to them, no problem. So why is this not the end of the discussion? What could be the problem with this? It seems like it's totally fine, right? First of all, it may not be that a lamp is muktzah. Second of all, even if a lamp is muktzah, so this is a completely separate unit, and you should be able to move it. So there are a couple of issues that have been raised with the original kosher lamp, with this design that we just looked at. Number one, again, even according to the approach that permits the kosher lamp, the lamp itself might still be muktzah. The actual base of the lamp might still be muktzah. And some have argued that, and I've been told that this is actually, if you read the actual instructions when you get the kosher lamp, and this is also listed on their website, they will tell you that even though, and you wrote in his haskama, that even though you can move the shade, you're still not allowed to move the lamp. And so detractors have argued that if you allow people to use this in their homes, who reads the instructions? People don't read the instructions. So people are going to end up moving the base of the lamp because they're not going to know that it's prohibited. And so to prevent people from moving the base of the lamp, you shouldn't use it. You should, because let's say you need the light to shine on that side of the room or on that side of the room. Well, if you use this design, you'd have to actually move the lamp to this direction or to that direction. And so therefore they said, well, if you really want to say that the base of the lamp is muktzah, so in order to prevent people from being mezalzel Shabbos and violating muktzah by moving it, so what you should do is you should just tell people it's usher and they can't use it anyway. So that was concern number one, is that people are actually going to come to move the actual lamp itself. Concern number two, and this is the second issue, and this is really the more serious issue with it, which is that even to turn the cover, some have argued, even to turn the cover without moving the base of the lamp, like I'm doing right now, which is how most people use the kosher lamp, some argue that even that is prohibited. Why? Why is that prohibited? Well, again, let's remember our rule about busis. If you have something that's not muktzah, supporting a muktzah item, like a candle supporting a flame, then the candle, even though it wasn't muktzah when there's no flame there, once the muktzah item is added to it, it becomes muktzah. Let's say you have, for example, a bowl of money. So money is muktzah on Shabbos.
So now the bowl is also going to be mitzvah because it's supporting the money. So some poskim have argued that the same rule would apply here, right? This base supports both the light bulb, which again is mukta according to many poskim, and the cylinder. And so therefore, anything that's on it now becomes mukta. It becomes what's called a basis ladavar ha'aser, and you would not be able to even move the permitted item. Yes?
But that seems opposite of what we said.
Therefore, some poskim have argued that you can't actually even turn the regular cylinder, which would mean that a kosher lamp is totally usher, that there's no real thing that you can do with the original kosher lamp. Okay, so just to summarize, detractors have raised two key issues with the original kosher lamp. Number one, people are going to end up moving the lamp because they don't know what to do. And number two, the base is a basis, and therefore you can't even turn the shade just by itself. That's what some have argued. And all of the subsequent Shabbos lamp inventions that have been invented are here to try and mitigate either one or both of these concerns. So the first one we'll discuss is the only one I don't have. Anybody have this? The shabulb. I realized when I asked for people to volunteer with giving me their stuff, no one wanted to come forward because who wants me to say, use their item and say, oh, this, your thing is usser. So I realized afterwards, okay, that's why probably I didn't get so many offers to let me use the kosher lamp. But we'll talk about the shabulb. The shabulb is essentially a light bulb. I don't know if you've seen it. It's an actual light bulb. That is the product. And there's a dial, which when you turn it, it brings a shade over the entire light. So let's say you have a light bulb. Okay, you have a light bulb. Let's say it's like that. It's as if there's a dial. You take a shade and it covers the light. And you can adjust how much coverage you want. Meaning you turn it and the whole thing goes covered. You turn it halfway, so then half the light is covered. It's connected mechanically. It's not electric, the closing mechanism. It's connected mechanically to the cover. It's very similar to this, which is what we'll talk about. If you can see this, it essentially is a shade that goes over the light that you move with a little lever on the side, except it's a real light bulb. And the shade is the switch is the dial is on the side of the light bulb. So how does this help us? How does such a product, the shabulb, help us? And if you want, you can look at it. You can see it's actually on the source sheet on the middle of page 4. The shabulb, and you can see there's like a little dial that you turn when you want it to close. Okay, so how does this help us? So number one, it fixes our problem about moving the lamp because A, this bulb screws right into your normal light fixture. So presumably you have your normal light fixtures in the home set up in a way that you're happy with them being used. And second of all, the light goes in every direction. So you're much less likely to come to move it because whereas this lamp only shoots out light forwards, basically into the sides, the actual shabulb, because it's a round sphere, actually gives off light in all the different directions. And so they argue that you fix problem number one, you make it less likely you're going to move the actual base of the lamp because it gives light in more directions from the outset. Okay. Number two is that this also creates other difficulties. Because if one of the reasons we were makel about the original kosher lamp is because the shade is a completely separate unit, then this shabulb, which the shade is built into the actual device, you can't really remove it. So then therefore, maybe you can't call that a separate kli anymore. And if you want to say that a light is mukta, seemingly all the parts of the light would be mukta. And if this is built into the device, then it might even make the second problem worse of being able to twist the kli. Okay, but don't despair because I'm not telling you that these are actually problems. I'm just sharing that these are some of the issues that have been raised. So that's number one is the kosher lamp. So those are the two issues we've raised with that. Number two is the shabulb, how it fixes one issue, but it makes another issue potentially even more complicated. What about the Shabbos light? So one product, which is essentially the same as the shabulb, but is marketed as the Shabbos light, effectively functions the same way, although it's potentially slightly more problematic. So the truth is that this model is actually pretty good. If you look in the picture on page number 4, the way that I've seen it is that it's a clip-on. It's a clip-on that clips onto a desk or a shtender or something like that, and it's much more portable. This is very, I mean, it's on a slanted surface, but if it was on a straight surface, you could basically move this without moving the kli, no problem. So the Shabbos light effectively functions the same way, but if it has the clip on, it's potentially more problematic. Why? Why is the clip on potentially more problematic? So, first of all, if it clips on and clips off, people are really more likely to move it on Shabbos. That's basically the same as saying this is portable. If it has a clip, it's basically saying, here, move this around wherever you want. If you bought something with a clip that clips on and clips off, it basically seems to market itself as a portable device. And if you hold that a lamp is muktzah, so then you can't do that. And if you're concerned that people are going to come to move this, how much more concerned do we need to be that people are going to actually move a clip on, clip off Shabbos lamp? The second potential issue is that, again, this is a big one, but the clip-on ones, and I've come across these, are not very sturdy. And they're not, and when you slide it, sometimes the slider can get stuck, and because it's so light to begin with, it can cause the entire thing to move. And even though the truth is you are, it's true, you're only moving it a tiny amount. It might shake and shudder a little bit, so even moving looks a very small amount is prohibited. If you look, this is stated by source number 9, Rabbi Mordechai Leib Winkler, in his Tshuvos Levushei Mordechai. He says even moving muktzah a little bit is a violation of muktzah. Okay. Good. Sure. Okay, good. Before we move on and talk about the last option, let's just explain why all the things we mentioned. I see some panicked glances. Let's just talk about why all the things that we mentioned are not problems. So, let's first discuss number one. When it comes to the original kosher lamp, the two issues are not necessarily issues after all. Number one, what was concern number one? People are going to end up moving it. So again, first of all, many poskim hold that you're allowed to move it because you're allowed to move a lamp on Shabbos. So many poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein included, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Asher Weiss, these are not lightweights. These great poskim hold that you're allowed to move a lamp on Shabbos. So first of all, you'd have to first of all be holding like the opinion that says a lamp is muktzah. Also, when it comes to issue number two, that the base of the lamp forms a basis, that it forms a basis for the light bulb and for the shade, and therefore you can't even move the shade. So again, if you hold that the lamp is not muktzah, it doesn't become a basis in the first place. It's just simply not muktzah. And second of all, even if it is a basis, we have a halacha. This is the Mishnah Berurah Paskins this way, that you're allowed to move the permitted components of a basis if it's for the sake of a permitted item, the tzorech davar hamutar. So for example, if I have a bowl of fruits and money, as long as I can't move the money to get to the fruits normally. But if I can take a fruit without moving any of the money, if I could just sneak in and get a fruit out, that's fine. So even according to the laws of Bussies, you can move the permitted part of it without moving the usher part of it. And so therefore, it would seem that even according to the poskim who say that this is a Bussies, it would still be permitted because it's just, you're moving it, letzorech davar haheter. You're moving the permitted part of it for your own sake. And that, because you need the light. And so therefore, we're going to be makel about that. Okay, that's the kosher lamp. And in fact, Rav Shlomo Miller, by the way, who was the original posek who backed the kosher lamp, in an updated haskama to the kosher lamp, he writes in very strong terms. I think I put it in the additional material section on the last page. He writes, I have previously written regarding the lamp called kosher lamp that it's permissible to use on Shabbos. And then in the parentheses, he says, I have already written to someone in this matter who mistakenly thought that this would be considered the tzorach davar ha'asar, that you wouldn't be able to move even the shade. But this is incorrect, and he completely does not understand the halakhic principle. Don't know who the guy is that got lambasted by Rav Shlomo Miller in this letter. But okay, so it seems like the kosher lamp is totally good. Moving on to the Shabbos. Again, it's a very similar argument. First of all, the light itself may not even be muktzah. Again, you'd have to hold like those poskim who are machmir to consider the light muktzah. Second of all, when you do move the shade, and this is clarified by all the rabbis who signed on to the Shabbos, Rabbi Usher Eckstein, Rabbi Shlomo Stern, the current Debrecen Rav, Rav Mechel Steinmetz, the OU put their hus, the OU put the symbol on the Shabbos. So if you look at the actual, if you take apart the actual Shabbos, you'll notice that yes, even though they're all baked into the same. To the same structure, if you actually take it apart, you will realize that it's not actually connected. It's actually built in such a way that it's a separate kli. And so therefore, even the shabob, even though some are machmir and they say, the shabob is really a single kli because it's built in. If you take it apart, you'll actually realize that it's actually a separate kli. It's built in such a way that it does not really connect to the actual muktzah part, the light part, at all. And so therefore, these poskim say that the shabob is fine as well. The Shabbos light would be subject to the same heterim. First of all, you have to hold that a light is muktzah in the first place. Many poskim hold that it's not. And second of all, the same option, it's the same operational structure here with this knob that you turn in order to show or to hide the light. And again, even if you have the clip on one, that's very finicky and shaky. So first of all, it's unintentional. You're not trying to move the mukta item when you just turn on and off a thing. And second of all, that would be considered tiltul min hatzad. You'd be moving it indirectly because you're really only moving this piece. And we have a halacha that's permitted in this case. Tiltul min hatzad, moving it indirectly, especially when you don't intend to move it. So that's not a problem at all. Shlomo Lerler actually writes this in one of his haskamas. Okay, so the kosher lamp is totally fine. The shabob is totally fine. Again, there are some poskim who think there are issues with it, but I think there's no room to be machmir. Because again, first of all, this only gets off the ground if you hold like those poskim that say a lamp is usher. And many great poskim say that a lamp is not muktzah. You can move it no matter what. Second of all, even if you want to say that it becomes a basis, well, there are good reasons it doesn't. There are good reasons it doesn't. And so therefore, we have dealt with, we're good. We have the kosher lamp, we have the Shabbos light, we have the shabob. There's one invention that we didn't talk about yet. Which invention? Anybody know what it's called? Anybody seen this before? This is very interesting. This is effectively a two-part piece, a two-part plea. I wish I had a plug here. I can't plug it in. Basically, there are lights in here. I don't know if you can see that. There are lights in here. And this is basically a drawer. And the way you operate the Shab LED, that's the name of the company, you open and close the drawer. So when the drawer is open, then light shines through. When you close the drawer, you cover up the lighting underneath it, and the lighting stops. And it has a nice little clock on the front, so you can always tell the time, and you can put something in the drawer. So how does this... So this lamp, if you look at their glowing haskamas, this lamp purports to solve all of the aforementioned issues. The mukta issues, the busis issues, the moving issues, all of that is going to be solved by the Shab LED. How does this type of design solve all of these issues? So their poskim argue that, yes, first of all, the light is mukta. So that's the starting point for all of this. Otherwise, again, if the light's not mukta, you have nothing to worry about. So they argue that the light is mukta. You're not allowed to carry it. So what do you do? Well, again, the halacha is that if you have a base with both mukta and non-mukta on it, what's the halacha? It's mukta, but if it has valuable non-mukta on it, something like a clock that's actually of value, or they say you should put your jewelry or something in the drawer that's really valuable, so then you can move it. You can move it even though there's muktzah on it. So they argue that, sure, someone might put this lamp in a different location. They might want to move it from here to here. But because this is not just a lamp, it's also a fully functioning drawer inside of itself. And the drawer is worth money, and the clock is worth money, and whatever you're putting inside the drawer is worth money. And so, generally speaking, this will actually be more valuable than the light itself. And so therefore, they argue that you can completely move this wherever you want to, because it's not just the muktzah light. There's also a drawer. It's a piece of furniture for your house. That's the argument. So they made it into a drawer. And that way, the frame is not just holding the muktzah. This frame is not just holding the muktzah light. It's holding a drawer. And you could put things in the drawer. And if you don't want to put things in the drawer, you have a clock. So it's holding all of that. And so therefore the argument is that even if you want to say a light is muktzah, and even if you want to say the cover of a light is muktzah, if the cover has its own separate function, you can use it to store furniture, you can use it to tell time, so therefore nobody would say that that's a problem. Everybody would think that you can use it because, again, it's not just the cover anymore. It's its own fully functional device. And so therefore when you put it together in one kli, this base becomes now a basis for a davar ha'asr v'hamotar. The davar ha'amotar is pretty valuable considering all the uses and functions and things that you might be putting inside of it, and therefore it would not be considered muktzah according even to the most stringent opinion.
Okay, so let's wrap up. Practically speaking, does this Shab LED solve all of the aforementioned issues? Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But is it necessary? No. No, it is not. It's not necessary. Again, because in order to say that it's necessary, you need to hold a number of chumras. Number one, you need to hold that lights are muktzah against Rav Moshe, against Rav Asher Weiss, against Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Number two, first of all, even if regular old incandescent lights are muktzah, LED you would have to hold is also muktzah, because that's basically the type of light that people are using here. And LED lights are even less halachically similar to fire, because there's no actual burning filament. And that's what Rav Asher Weiss seems to hold. Number three, the cover, you have to also hold the cover is considered part of the same kli, which again is not a given. And that even if it is considered part of the same kli, you wouldn't be allowed to move it, which seemingly it would be permitted to move for the reasons that we discussed. So in conclusion, which one is kosher? I think they're all kosher. I think they're all totally fine. The original kosher lamp, the Shabbat, the Shabbos light, the Shab LED. Again, others might disagree, but whenever somebody asks me a Shaila, this is what I tell them. I think that they are all completely appropriate, and that's why. That's why. Again, if you want to be machmir on a chumrah, on a chumrah, on a chumrah, on a chumrah, and only use the Shab LED, then you can. But they're all totally acceptable. They're all very good. L'chachila can be used, and we'll end here today. There's a lot of breakfast. Please again, thank you to our anonymous sponsor, and we will announce our next shiur probably in a few weeks.
Take care.